thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome once again to another edition of the Computer Corner. Reportedly the last Computer Corner show that we're going to do from this building. As we we'll be moving to the new facilities, which are unbelievable. We will tweet about it. We will put it up on Facebook. We'll put pictures up. It'll be interesting. But we're going to say goodbye to this studio. It's the last show, the last Computer Corner show.
Aww.
Joining me today in studio is Kyle.
Hello.
Data doctor number two. Taylor, data doctor in training.
Right.
Right.
It's been a while.
And Lewis from Mac Media.
Yes, yes.
And we have an audience member, right?
Yes.
Right. You want to introduce the world to the audience?
Yes. This is my wife, Crystal. She is sitting in.
And is she going to participate?
Yeah, if she wants to.
She's got
the 2 cents on the non-technical side, she can, you know, be able to help people, to help us to be able to, you know, relate to the customers and other people that are out there doing their shopping.
He's just trying to look good. We know you're technical.
There you go. It is the Computer Corner. We're here to talk technology with you, not just computers, but primarily computers, because that's what we do all day long, all week long, is work on computers and networks and retrieve data and do forensics work and, you know, build new computers and do all that, and then we come in on Saturdays and talk about the stuff that we did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Well, except for me, I just kind of Google stuff on my iPod Touch.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but you are the generation that you know, you were born with this stuff, so
yeah,
you take stuff for granted that a lot of our listeners go, what?
Yeah, that thing is attached at your hip, so.
It is.
Oh, I know. Well.
Yes, he's already had 3 thumb surgeries from all the tech. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to focus in a little bit on a theme, but really the whole point of the show is to help you with whatever it is that's ailing you. And the easiest way to get a little assistance is to dial us up, 602-277-5827. Or you can use telepathy. Did you bring your antenna today?
I did. Yeah, I'm just plugged right into the internet all the time.
I just
get the show streaming.
What about all the people that are going to, you know, just through the airwaves, just mind meld with you?
There you go.
All right.
Well, it might be an easier way to get through because when the phones are all tied up, it's...
Right, telepathy. 602-277-5827, since we are in the great Southwest, I suppose we could try smoke signals. Dixie cup and string, whatever method you want to use. You can join us if you are more digitally inclined. You can join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. I know, go figure. Who came up with that one? Brandon, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see today's theme as well as the resources, which I think might be helpful for those of you out there shopping, trying to get the best deal possible, because we're talking about online coupons. The good, bad, and the ugly, I guess. There's some really, really cool websites out there that allow you to take advantage of all those online offers and savings, and then there are the scam sites. And then there are the scam operators that are trying to convince people that if, you know, they pay them some money, we'll show you how to make money selling coupons and coupon books. And you know, there's a bunch of stay-at-home, make-a-bunch-of-money scams about coupons.
And we might spark some debate about whether it's pronounced coupon or coupon. I like coupon, but...
Well, you could do the Ron White thing and call it a coupon.
Or coops.
Coops. That's what we do.
Coops, yeah. Hey, we got coops.
We do. And we've got lots of links to coop sites that you that are legitimate. They're real. We checked them out, as well as my advice column on what to kind of how to ferret out some of this stuff that's maybe not so legitimate. But while you're there, you can ask a question or give us a little general comment, a little feedback in the feedback section there on the website. Or you can just sit back and relax, listen, and learn from others' pain, because that's typically what happens here. Is we discuss things, and we try to discuss them in a way that, as you listen, you're going to go, I'll never do that.
Try to help people and where, you know, people have already made some mistakes, getting taken advantage of, and let people know.
Just general pain that people have, right? And usually it's because, well, everything was fine until I did this.
Maybe we should start getting a psychologist on the show, too.
No. We got it covered. We're good. Like, I was fine until I installed that registry cleaner. How many times have you heard that?
Too many to count.
Yeah, probably 20 times in the last week, right?
Yeah.
So what we do is we look at that and we see, you know, across roughly 50 stores across the United States that we have. And when we see enough of these consistent patterns of behavior, we know, okay, we need to talk about this. We need to warn people that, you know, a $30 program that claims it's going to completely wipe everything out and make your computer beautiful, typically does not.
No.
And typically does not do a good job. And in fact, oftentimes will create major trauma.
Yeah.
And trauma.
You're not talking about those commercials on TV that your computer is super fast all of a sudden.
Oh, you mean the ones that have the Windows machine on the Mac computer?
On the Mac computer.
Yeah, those are great.
Well, you can do that, though. You can run Windows on a Mac.
Yeah, but I'm...
So the commercials are okay now. Yeah, no, computers, especially Windows-based computers, are extremely complex. A fully trained human has a tough time getting rid of a lot of the junk that's going on out there, especially these fake security programs that are just rampant. Number one cause of problems, right? When you say?
Yeah, and even more so within the last couple of weeks to a month, they've just been going nuts. Like they started, you know, kind of tapering off a little bit, and then all of a sudden within the last month they're just going crazy, and everybody's coming in with the same thing on their computer, security tool
and
other things.
And it's nastier than ever, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a big, major pain for us to get rid of it.
It infects ridiculous parts of your computer that a lot of people think that, you know, that their regular antivirus is going to be able to take care of. You know, oh, I got a virus on there. Let's download AV. G free and take care of that, and it doesn't happen.
That's a Band-Aid for a where a tourniquet should be used.
Right.
So, by the way, since we're talking about that, the most common way to get infected with this malware these days is these fake videos, where you're going to get an email, you're going to get a text message, you're going to get something on your Facebook page that says, "I can't believe that you got caught doing this," or something, you know, really salacious, and you're going, "Oh my goodness!" And you're so worried about seeing it. When you go to the site, it says, well, in order to see this video, you have to get the latest Flash player. And you're thinking, oh, Adobe Flash, that's legitimate. And so you go, okay, go ahead and install it, because all you want to do is see this video.
Right. People let their guard down because...
Wait a minute.
They want to get it.
You already have the Flash player. Why do you need it again?
Right. Or sometimes it's a codec or something like that. They think, oh, what's a codec? Well, it's going to help me to be able to see it, you know, the video.
So that's how people are falling for it. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from this first break. Couple lines open, 602-277-5827. When we come back, we'll see if we can help Tim and Jack and show you how to get some coupons. Coupons. Back right after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about coupons.
It's a liquid U.
But there's no Q in coupon, is there?
No.
Wow.
Now, if you want to put... If you want to put, oh, Pete tells me it's coupe is French for cut.
I'm going to check Google for that right there. I'm going to text Google.
Look
for
it up. Join us online, datadoctors.com/radio, and you'll see in this week's links my advice column on coupon scams and how to spot them, the FTC's warning on these coupon business scams, and then, of course, the various websites that we found that we believe would be helpful for you, for whether it's a online code that you use to get a discount, like free shipping, that kind of thing, or the type that you can actually print out a coupon and take it to a retailer.
Which are usually more safe.
More safer? Well, actually, no. There's a lot of scams out there, the ones that you print. And when you print a coupon and take it into a retailer or grocery store, there's the additional piece of whoever you present it to, if for some reason they're not comfortable with that because there's so many, you know, scams and fake coupons out there, they may say, I'm sorry, I can't accept that coupon, and it could be for any number of reasons. There's no barcode, there's no whatever. So the best ones are the ones that you can just redeem online, where you just click through, put a code in, and you're done. But the bottom line with coupons, if somebody says you need to pay to get coupons, the handling fees, whatever it is, or they say we need all this information before we'll give you these coupons.
Probably not worth it.
Not probably, just take a pass.
Right.
That's the first red flag. The legitimate coupon sites, just like with the coupons you get in your newspaper, there's no pre-qualification for that. That's the distribution method that the manufacturer chose to get the coupon in the hands of the consumer. There are legitimate websites that they have partnerships with. Same kind of deal. You don't have to give up anything. You don't have to give them any information to be able to access these coupons. There are some that say, well, if you want us to keep you up to speed on, you know, the latest and greatest and new coupons that come on, give us your email address and we'll send you a little email whenever this stuff happens. But that's about as far as you should ever have to go as far as engaging with a coupon site.
Yeah, and part of the thing that you've put on the website as well on the Data Doctors is a link that that talks about how, and part of the whole reason why we're talking about this is that the coupon redemption in the United States has increased by like 25%, is it?
Something like 1.6 billion coupons that they believe will be redeemed this year, which is about a 23% increase over last year. Could that have something to do with the economy?
Not a chance.
I don't think so. But because of that, the scams and, you know, the fake stuff and all that stuff, the bottom line is you should never have to pay or give up your personal information for coupons. Just remember, that's the biggest little tip there that'll tell you you're out.
What about coupon books?
Well,
you know, those folks that go door to door with the coupon books.
Yeah, well,
I bought a couple of those. Those are pretty good deals sometimes.
Again, you've got to be very, very careful. The second link on here is the FTC's warning on these coupon book business scams. I mean, they're not all scams, and they're not all legitimate. So if you're interested in how that works, check out the second link on this week's resources. Let's go to the phones here and see if we can help Tim. Timo, you're first up on the computer corner. You got a gaggle of questions for us.
I do have a gaggle. Thanks for taking my call. We're getting a new computer for my dad, currently has a desktop with XP.
Okay.
And it's hardwired for the internet.
Okay.
And we're going to get him a laptop.
Okay.
And we want that wireless.
All right.
And we want to, and if the laptop's going to be Windows 7.
Okay.
So we want to hook up where I guess they communicate with each other, where he can surf the web, and then we also have to get a new wireless router.
Okay. So the surfing of the web will have nothing to do with the old Windows XP machine.
Okay.
It'll have only to do with, I'm assuming right now there's a computer that's directly connected to like a cable modem or something?
Correct.
Okay. Is it a cable modem or is it DSL?
Cable.
Okay. So if it's a standard cable modem, right now he's flying wide open. Right now his machine is much more accessible and in kind of a dangerous situation, even if you have a software firewall. That once you install this router, it'll put up a hardware firewall plus give you the ability to share the connection. So you're gonna accomplish two really good things by getting that router. One is to give the existing desktop much better security, and the second is to allow both machines to be able to use the internet connection, both wired and wireless. It really doesn't matter.
I'd like to interject kind of a one thing real quick about Windows 7 Professional, and a lot of people don't know this as switching over, is that it has a virtualization mode in it that has, you can use Windows XP inside of Windows 7. We can talk about that. A lot of people have been coming in with questions about that and wanting to know more about not having compatibility issues between Windows 7 and Windows XP,
yeah,
because
it's
built in.
When it comes to the connections, though, which is the primary thing I think you're concerned about, right, Tim?
Correct.
Sharing files, that kind of thing. All right, listen, we're going to break, but you got lots of other questions. We're going to put you on hold. Hold on through the this particular break, and we're going to get into more of that discussion. Because the next question he had was, well, all these A, B, C, D, G, E, F routers, which one do I get? We're going to tell you and him how to go about determining which one's best for you. It is the Computer Corner. We've got lots more to talk about. Join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. Back right after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner, the original social media system.
Ooh.
Network, right here on KTAR. We were social before it was cool.
Right? You talking about the radio or?
No, specifically us.
Just us. We started the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's us.
We're taking credit for the whole thing.
Us specifically, yes. Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, a little tip here for those of you that are going to be looking for legitimate coupon sites. And actually, you can use this process anytime you're trying to figure out if a website is legitimate or not. There's a great website resource called Alexa, A-L-E-X-A, and the link is on our website. You can put the get site info on any website you're trying to figure out, is this a legitimate site or not? You put that information in, and up will come a series of tabs. One will be a traffic rank. Now, traffic ranks are relative to the Alexa database. So if they database, 10 million websites, and you see a ranking of 10,000, that means it's in the top 10,000 websites that Alexa has databased. In other words, it's a very high volume, very high trafficked website. So the smaller the number in the ranking, the more traffic they get.
Okay? Google being number one.
Google usually is number one. Although Yahoo, I think Google and Yahoo are constantly fighting each other. In fact, since you brought that up, Google's number one, Facebook's number two, Yahoo's number three. So that's the ranking, one, two, three, and then it goes on and on and on. Okay.
Right.
So when you're looking at a website and it's ranked 1 million whatever or 600,000 or whatever, you know it's a fairly low volume website. Whereas if you're looking at another website and it has a much higher ranking, traffic rank by itself isn't anything that in and of itself. But the other tabs that are there, including how many other websites link to the website you're looking at,
are important because that's showing that other people are noticing that that's a good thing to do.
They're somewhat legitimizing it by linking to it. Now, the more those links and the lower the traffic rank, the more likely you're dealing with a legitimate site. These are not absolutes. But that's the same system that Google uses to figure out how they're going to, when you search for something, it does a whole lot more than just those two items. There's a really, really sophisticated algorithm they use. But they use that type of thing, how many other sites link in, and page rank based on how many people visit the site and what have you.
Yeah.
And that's what helps them determine what to put at the top of their search results.
It also tells you when the website was created.
Yeah, now that actually can be a little misleading because websites are constantly acquired by new entities for new items, but they're using the same URL. So the age of it, in other words, you can get a real bad website that's got a really old, like it was created in 98.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go by that. What you can go by, though, is if it's really new, that should be a red flag. Hey, maybe I should be a little careful here.
Right.
But if it's really old, it doesn't necessarily, that in and of itself doesn't make it a legitimate site.
In any case, Axia is a great tool to be able to use to be able to help you determine whether
you
or not.
What did you call it?
A tool?
What did you call the website?
Was it?
Alexa.
Alexa. I said Axia. Wow. Yeah. What was that?
Where are you going?
Jeez.
You're going over here to help Tim.
All right.
Before we went to break, Tim, you said Pops is getting a new machine.
Yep.
It's going to be Windows 7. You want to keep the old desktop in place.
Yes.
What exactly do you want to share from a file standpoint between the two machines?
I don't know because it depends on what he opens up in different spots. Probably, the simple stuff. Definitely a printer. And then if there's a possibility of sharing or putting it, like I saw in the Windows commercial, they show someone working on a laptop and it's projected on a TV screen.
You're really trying to mess your dad up, huh? Well, let's start with the first thing. The files. Now, one thing that you're going to have to really think about is if he's going to start using both machines on a as need basis. He has to understand that unless you have, unless you've created a common place where everything he does always gets saved, which is going to be a little tricky. If he does something on the laptop, he may not see it on the desktop.
Oh.
Okay? Unless you have a unified, like a shared directory, and then you default like his Microsoft Word on both machines to the same shared folder, and the same thing with his Quicken, and same thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So you really want to think that stuff through.
And it can get real complicated.
Yeah, it can
real
get
fast.
Real exactly. So there's the issue of where the data is going to reside for each of the programs and whether you actually need to share it or not. What I would recommend you do to make it easy for Dad to remember is say, okay, whenever you want to do this, use this machine. In other words, don't make it so that he can do things that generate data like Microsoft Word. And, you know, in the early stages, try to get him to use the same machine whenever he's, you know, generating documents.
Okay.
When do you see him using the desktop? I mean, he gets a new laptop and it's wireless. Why would he ever use the desktop?
That's what we don't know. How it's going to be accepted.
Okay, so you think maybe the laptop, there's a possibility it becomes, it's too difficult to use, I'm going to go back to my desktop?
Maybe. I mean, my dad's 80 years old, so this is something that we think that he's going to enjoy the laptop because he can use it anywhere and do searching the web and that kind of stuff, but we don't know where he can use it.
So because I have an 80-year-old in my household, let me give you a couple tips.
Okay.
Keyboard, huge. Make sure you make sure the enter key is as big as it can be.
Okay.
Some of the laptops, especially if you're looking at a netbook with the really, really small keyboards, that could be a real problem. So I don't know what level of computer you're looking at, but keep the keyboard itself is really critical.
I think we got like a Dell with a 17-inch screen.
Okay. The other thing, so you're ordering it online, so you don't actually get to play with it before you're buying it?
Correct.
So I was going to say, the other thing you want to do is make absolutely sure that this, whatever unit you're getting, doesn't have a heat issue. A lot of laptops really get warm, quite warm.
Okay.
And I would imagine that if he's going to be sitting on the couch or sitting on a chair, he's going to have this thing actually on his lap. You can get a really hot lap. I mean, it can get really, really intense sometimes. So keep that in mind as well. There are devices out there that allow you to get some separation, some cushioning on that. So,
okay.
But the big thing is, what you may want to do is see if you can get him to do all the stuff he cares about on one machine, and then use the other one for just general surfing the web.
Okay.
And is his email going to be web based or is it an actual program?
America Online.
Okay, so that's already kind of on the cloud.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. Don't load the AOL software on the new machine.
Okay.
Create his start page at AOL.com. Because you don't need all that crazy software to be able to access his AOL account.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay?
Okay.
Trust me, you get him weaned off that crazy software that they force everybody to install and update and all that, and just have him use a web browser. There's a couple of reasons. One is, if you do that on both machines, then it's in the cloud, right? It's out there on AOL servers. So he can easily, he's visiting you at your home or whatever, he can easily get to his stuff without having to have that specific machine. So the more localized you make the stuff, that's when you start to get in this complexity of, well, which machine was I on?
Gotcha.
When I did that, so.
Good point.
That and you don't need the extra overhead that it takes, and I mean, I'm not a real big fan of their software anyway. You know what we call AOL around here?
Yeah.
Huh?
I've heard it before. I can't remember.
Almost online, yeah. Okay. So now, as far as the printer sharing, I would imagine the printer is going to be connected to your old desktop.
Correct.
And sharing that should be no problem. You just need to tell the XP machine, I want to share my printer, and then the 7 machine should be able to see it, no problem.
Okay.
As far as the wireless router goes, all the A, B, C, D, G, E, F, all that stuff that's out there, for what you're doing, it really doesn't matter. The newer, faster wireless networks are only germane for people that are like hardcore gamers, or let's say you're going to transfer huge video files between the computers on the local network through the wireless. So, I mean, just your garden variety router, wireless router, is probably going to be a B/G is probably the most common that you're going to see, wouldn't you say?
Probably most common would be G, and N is starting to come more mainstream. I'm seeing a lot more N routers out there.
Yeah, but the N, you're going to have N-based technology in the wireless, you know, the laptops.
Right,
and whatever,
in the lab, so, but most of them come that way now. Yeah. A lot of them do.
You don't have to, I mean, if the laptop you're buying has an N wireless router, or excuse me, wireless adapter, or the, you know, built in.
Okay.
Then you can go ahead and buy that because then they're matched. Because your desktop is it doesn't care because it's hardwired. It's going to be hard.
Nothing with Windows 7 would make it a deal if I have to get an N or a G.
No, it has nothing to do with Windows 7. It has to do with the computer you buy.
All the hardware.
The network adapter that's built into the computer.
Okay.
That's going to determine what you can and cannot do. The bottom line, though, is that the what you're saying that you're going to use this for, it really almost doesn't matter. You could go to the original B, like the really old slow, and it's still faster than your internet connection.
Right.
Okay. So there's some distance issues with if you're going a long distance between, if you've got a lot of walls between where the router's going to be and where this laptop's going to go, then as you go up the scale and potentially has the ability to go like a further distance. But if none of those issues are really in play and you're within a reasonable 30, 50 feet, most people are, then you should be fine.
Make sure you set the security on that, too.
Now, this notion that you're going to get a laptop and then have something where your dad can plug it into the TV and do some stuff?
Yeah.
I don't think you should even try that. Again,
just a lot of stuff to
take in. I think I have a reference point, right? Because, I've got that same situation in my household.
Yep.
I would never even dream of thinking about doing anything like that.
Okay.
The remote control is already more sophisticated than it needs to be. So for that particular situation, you may be different, but your dad, I'd say, hang tight. So I'll put you on hold for a second. We got to go to break again. Jack, Antonio, Paul, please hang on. We want to get to your questions as well. It is the Computer Corner. Back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about coupons, or at least we started talking about coupons.
And then we kind of got coupons. Sidetracked.
Yeah, but we're here to help. 602-277-5827. Last segment, you had mentioned the Windows 7 having, certain copies of Windows 7 having Windows XP mode.
Right.
Oddly enough, Jack called in to warn people about, just because you buy a version of Windows 7 that has the ability to run Windows XP mode, doesn't mean that it's actually going to work, right, Jack?
That's correct.
And why would that be?
It says that my machine, which is a Dell Vostro 200, lacks the hardware-enabled virtual.
Yeah, your processor has to have the hardware virtualization circuitry built into it.
At Intel VT, mine, of course, is in there. The chip that's in there is an Intel 2-core, 2.2 megahertz.
But it
does say, and looking it up, if you switch it to 64 bits, which it says it's 64-bit ready, that it could then operate this way. I don't understand that.
Did you upgrade from Windows Vista, or did you buy this with Windows 7 on it?
I bought it. I bought the Windows 7 itself.
Okay.
Yeah, it has
for 64 and 432 bit both disks.
Yeah, what version of Windows is on the machine right now?
Windows 7 32 bit.
Oh, okay. So what was on it before you installed Windows 7?
Oh, XP.
Okay.
XP. That's why, is because the newer computers, the virtualization technology that Intel put out came out within the last couple of years. And so if you're upgrading from Windows XP and you're doing the upgrade process, the virtualization mode wouldn't work on that.
Well, your processor now, I don't know where you were getting the information about the ability to run it. Were you in the BIOS?
It was on the network internet. There was some check to see if it'll run. It said yes, it would, but you had to go up to the 64-bit.
There's a hardware test online that you run to be able to check to see if you've got that. And it's on the Microsoft when you go to download the Windows XP mode. And you do have to have that virtualization technology built into that.
Yeah.
And you do have to change it in the BIOS for those people that don't have it enabled. And they do have the ability to run it. Sometimes you'll have to go into specific settings on your computer to change that.
Are you familiar with your BIOS?
I've been in there, yes.
Okay. By the way, BIOS, it's an acronym.
Yeah.
When we use acronyms on this show, what's the rule?
We got to explain them.
We'll put you on the spot here. BIOS, do you know what it stands for?
Oh, man, that's an old term, and I can't remember.
It's all right. I knew.
Basic input-output system.
Hey, you're cheating.
Oh, man.
The Mac guys over here surfing.
Googling stuff. Yeah. Oh,
some of us don't have to Google it. Of course.
Hey, we don't have a BIOS. What am I going to do?
Some of us have been around this stuff for so long that it's kind of there. Yeah, so you'll have to go in there to see if there's a place for you to change it in your BIOS.
I see. Okay?
And if there is, then you're in luck. Then you can run it.
Yeah.
Now,
I have one more critical question.
Hang on. Let's back up first of all.
Yes.
You're one of the few people that actually has a legitimate reason to actually want to run this. A lot of people hear that you can run Windows XP within Windows 7. They go, oh, I want to do that. It's like, why? What for what purpose? Because I have XP stuff. Well, most of the XP stuff runs in Windows 7. There are exceptions because, Jack, you have what?
I have AutoCAD 2005.
And you know for sure that it's not compatible, right?
It says is not compatible with this program.
Did you actually go to the...
computer told me that.
Did you actually go to the compatibility center, Microsoft's compatibility center, to make absolutely sure that there's not some modification or some adjustment?
I did not do that.
So about, on November 6th, I wrote an advice column. And for those of you wanting to get the specific details about this Windows 7 XP mode, if you go to datadoctors.com/help, that's our free help center, and look in the weekly advice columns. It's the one on the fifth one down. It says, what is Windows 7 XP mode for? Within that article, I have two links. One is to where you can actually test your hardware, which it sounds like you've already done, the link to go to that test. And the second one is Microsoft's compatibility database that they put together for both hardware and software programs. That's real, real helpful.
Well, very good.
But in your case, now you said one more question?
One more question. I have a hardwired router. It's at a satisfactory wall, a firewall.
Yeah, yeah. The routers themselves have that element of protection where they...
I have the software one, too, so that takes care of it.
Yeah, well, the software one tells you when something in your computer is trying to go out to the Internet. The hardware one is going to keep anyone from being able to address your computer directly. It has what's called a private IP address now, your machine does.
Yes.
And the router has the public IP address. So if somebody tries to hack your IP address, they're going to be hacking that router, that box, not your computer.
I understand.
All right.
Another thing, I don't know if you ever mentioned it or not, but Microsoft says they have a new...
Hang on. I'm sorry. Got to go to break here. Can't hold up the show. We'll be back right after this break.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We are, in fact, not your daddy's radio computer radio show, because I don't think your daddy probably had
one. No, I don't. I think they talked about that on the radio.
I think we were extremely caffeinated that day, as opposed to moderately caffeinated like we are today. Hey, we're talking about online coupons, the scams and the savings. And if you're interested in learning more about that, join us online, datadoctors.com/radio, where you can see all of our warnings, as well as some sites that we believe are in your best interest to check out if, in fact, you're trying to save that extra little coin there. But before we go on... It's time for that part of the show where we try to learn you something. Grab a word, a portion of the vernacular that the tech world uses without even thinking about it. The average Joe goes, what's that mean? It's our Geek Speak of the Week. Taylor, you want to take it?
Yeah, sure. It's this week it's a lurker, and it's kind of intuitive.
Lurker, yeah. L-U-R-K-E-R, lurker.
It's pretty intuitive. It says anyone who follows or partakes in something without actually contributing or participating, like online gaming, social media, cocktail parties, apparently.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, you know, that guy that...
Presidential.
The guy that kind of stands out. No, they weren't lurkers. They were full-on stalkers. The guy that kind of hangs around a conversation at the cocktail parties, yeah. Where he's not really... He's kind of lurking. He's kind of listening in. He's
kind of sitting around, taking all the...
Just kind of always there, but never really participating, never says hello, anything like that.
See, I want stats on all that stuff. I want to know who's been looking at my profile.
You know that that's coming. You know that's coming. So you're going to have the lurker alert.
You know what? They've got fake stuff out there right now, though, that's just like, see who looked at your pictures.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
And they're just
come games. On, right?
Yeah, they're just like.
So basically, everybody that's on Facebook and Twitter,
in your credit card.
Y'all are lurkers.
Lurker.
Doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. It's when it becomes a full-blown stalking situation that you go from a lurker to a stalker. I guess that's probably the gateway, right? It's the gateway.
The gateway,
the gateway to being a stalker.
You just go from...
Starts with the lingering and then goes to lurking.
So all of you are but a couple mouse clicks away from being full-blown stalkers.
Oh.
That makes me feel really good inside.
What is she doing on the end there with the laptop?
Just Facebooking.
Facebooking, yeah.
All right. We'll talk more about coupons. Actually, one other tip on these coupon sites. If you get to a coupon site and it has what's called link rot, it's another geek speak for you. Bonus, link rot. You know what link rot is?
It's when all the links start rotting away.
Or when a link is no longer valid, right? That you click on it, it goes nowhere. That's known as link rot. You go to a coupon site and it's got link rot. That should tell you right away. They haven't been updating this. It's probably old stuff, or it's just one of those scam websites just trying to get you to give them some information or whatever. So
now I went to a website that I thought was valid. It looked professional, and I believe it had link rot because I went to Google checkout on the website and ordered my product, and then a week later Google said, hey, we're going to cancel that order for you because we don't like these guys anymore.
Now, explain for those that don't know what Google checkout is. What is that?
It's a secure way of...
So it's like PayPal.
A secure way of purchasing your product online so that you're not going directly through the merchant.
Kind of like in an auction, right? Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing. You got the middleman that's going to make sure that everything's cool. In this case, Google said, this ain't cool.
Yeah, they're no longer cool with
that. And they saved you how much?
About $150.
Thank you, Uncle Google.
So now I've got to print this this receipt that I got here. I've got to print this out and give it to my girlfriend for Christmas.
Ah, because it's the thought that counts.
It is the thought.
And with that, we're going to go back to the phones. Antonio, thanks for holding so long. You actually want to help all of those out there that might have the Avast antivirus program.
Yes, actually, I'm a network technician myself, and I'm quite a big fan of your show. So I just wanted to kind of give a suggestion to people. If you have Advanced Antivirus, it's put out a recent update. The update itself had a bit of a glitch in it.
A bit? Yeah. You think? A bit?
A large one. Yeah, causing it to say that there was Trojan viruses running through the system. Now, if you start deleting these viruses out of there, you're going to remove quite a few programs up to the point where you could even stop your Windows from turning on.
Yeah, like one of the ones that was identified as a virus was Notepad. Yeah, there was definitely some issues with Avast, and if you are an Avast user and you saw that your program told you had all these viruses and you started deleting them out, then hopefully it's all still in your virus chest and you can restore those. If you have Avast, what Antonio wants you to know is you better get it updated, right? Because they fixed it.
Re-update again. If you get that update, you'll be fine and it'll stop sending off those alarms. Hopefully you didn't start just flat out deleting and didn't look at what you're deleting on. So.
You know, we have to, us in the business, right, you and I, Antonio, that we have to thank companies like Avast that create, wreak havoc like this and that we have to go and fix it.
Exactly. It keeps us going.
As if we don't have enough to do. We need somebody to do, you know, this thing. So, hey, I appreciate you hanging on. I appreciate you sharing that because that is very important for those of you. By the way, I did put a link up to a story that specifically explains it. So if you're an Avast user, again, datadoctors.com/radio, take a look at the last link I just posted up there, and that's the alert information that Antonio's talking about. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Hey, and look at that. Users helping users. I'm tearing up. This is beautiful. Isn't it? Back to the phones. Let's see if we can quickly at least ascertain what Paul's issue is and see if we can help you on the other side of the break. Paul, what's going on?
Well, I actually called about my cable modem, which I have to reset every morning in order to get service. But I've got a follow-up for Antonio. I removed Norton, and I can't get a maintenance window anymore with Control-Alt-Del.
Maintenance window?
The task manager.
Oh, the task manager?
Yeah.
Oh, that has nothing to do with Avast, though, right? Did you install Avast?
No, this is Norton.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm trying to figure out why we're talking to Antonio. You're confusing me. All right, hang on. You want to know why you have to reset your cable modem, and then we'll talk about the second issue with the Norton antivirus, one of our favorites. Not.
The commercials are really good. The new commercials they have out, yeah. protect your chicken from docking.
Yes, of course.
YouTube it.
Yeah. No, you know what? Anytime you uninstall some of these overbearing antivirus programs, all kinds of fun can ensue. So we're going to talk about that some more, and as well some more coupon issues here on the Computer Corner. Stay tuned. By the way, we're here to celebrate the life and work of Al Gore as he invented the internet, and I believe he invented global warming.
Right? Let's not get into a political debate now.
Did I misread that? He didn't invent. It's 32 degrees last night in Arizona. It's snowing in Houston. Where's this global warming?
Right. My car did something that I didn't even know it had. It gave me a little snowflake icon on it and started beeping.
Yeah, I was like,
and I looked down and I thought my engine was seizing, and it was just telling me that it was cold outside.
What am I in?
That's awesome. Where do you get that in Arizona?
What am I in, New Hampshire now?
It's wicked cold out here.
Pete pointed out that the guy from New Hampshire is the one that's cold in the studio.
That's because everybody else has long sleeves on except for me.
Well, you have T-shirt on. It's, you know. Anyway.
Even the guy from New Hampshire has long sleeves on. He's complaining it's cold.
I know better.
If you hear his teeth knocking together, you know why. Hey, before we went to break, Paul was talking about having to reset his cable modem. And you say that started a couple months ago?
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to talk in general senses, and then we'll get into some things that may or may not be in your case. A lot of times now, cable modems are the same form factor as routers. And so you can stack the router right on top of the cable modem. Unfortunately, when you do things like that, or some, you know, a lot of people just throw stacks of paper around or whatever, what you do is you insulate the device, and so the heat that would normally be escaping doesn't get to escape, and it can reduce the life of the component. Now, in your case, you said it's out on a desk.
That's right.
It's wide open.
It's the vertical form factor.
Okay. So that makes it a little tougher to set something on top. Generally speaking, I mean, cable modems, there aren't any moving parts. It's all electronics, okay? In some cases, you can update what's called the firmware. What brand cable modem is this?
This is a Motorola SB5100 surfboard.
Oh, surfboard? Are they still around? Surfboards are like 6 or 7 years old, aren't they?
Well, maybe it's that old.
Yeah, I mean, surfboard. I haven't even seen a surf. I replaced my surfboard, I think, 5 cable modems ago.
Right.
Anyway, is it possible? It could just be age, and basically when that happens, you just buy a new cable modem, which, you know, good news is that they're not that expensive. Now, are you a Cox Cable customer?
I am,
okay,
yeah.
So what you'll need to do is you can go to any of the office supply stores, any of the electronic stores, and purchase a cable modem. And when you get home, you're going to have to call them because they're going to have to provision this new cable modem to be able to get on their system.
Okay. Does your site have recommendations on modems?
It's nearly impossible to go wrong. These things they do nothing.
Okay.
They're not real sophisticated electronic devices, which is one of the reasons why they're so cheap.
Yeah, I think your typical price point is, what, 50, 60 bucks?
30.
30?
40. Yeah, I mean,
you know. Now, if you get the ones that have, like, the routing capability and stuff built
into
that.
Try to stick to a name brand, something you've heard of, you know, Linksys, Netgear, some of these others that you might have seen before.
Okay.
You know, if it's like Joe's Cable Modem, maybe take a pass. You know,
okay.
Some no name you never heard of. You can also check to make sure the cable company doesn't have some special deal for you, which generally is cheaper to buy them in the stores, but you might want to double check. Or see if they have a recommended list for their service. They're saying, here's the optimized cable modems for our service if you want to, like, max out everything. But typically speaking, that should take care of that issue.
Okay.
On your Norton issue, you said you uninstalled Norton. You said you uninstalled it a while ago. And ever since you did, you couldn't do a Control-Alt-Delete to get to your task manager?
That's right.
So the thing I'd like you to try is you can get the task manager another way by right-clicking on the task bar at the bottom. And one of the options that come up should be the task manager.
Right.
So knowing whether that's capable or not would be very, very helpful to understand what might be causing the problem.
Okay, I just tried that, and it does not come up.
It does not. Okay. So something has happened to your operating system specific to that application. In fact, you can try running I believe it's Taskman, right?
Taskman.exe.
Yeah.
If you just
click on Start Run and type in Taskman and hit Enter, that's the Task Manager actual executable file that runs when you click on the mouse.
Okay.
So if that doesn't run, then that file may have become corrupted or, you know, something of that nature. So, unfortunately, telling you how to fix that over the air is going to be a little tough because we'd have to know what it is. But that's going to help you trying to track that down. What you may want to do is start searching Google. If you want to do this yourself, start searching Google, Task Manager no longer working, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And see if somebody can. And you might also want to search for, you know, uninstalled Norton, Task Manager doesn't work. See if other people can associate the same thing, because chances are they're going to go, oh, yeah, it took me 3 months, but I figured it out. And here's what it was. That's why I love the internet.
Google knows everything.
Google does know everything.
Well, and we're not too far from your Dana Point store, so.
Dana Point?
Yeah, out in Gilbert.
Oh, Dana Point. I'm thinking California. It's like, I love Dana Point, but I don't have a store there. All right. Thank you so much, Paul.
You bet. Thank you.
And by the sound of the music, we're coming up on another break. We do have another half hour to go. We're trying to get as many calls as we can. Maybe have a few more discussions about coupons, online coupons, the scams, the savings, all that good stuff. Of course, you can join us online, datadoctors.com/radio, and see all of the links we have. If you're not a Facebook fan, what are you waiting for? That's how we keep you up to speed on things that are going on. So check that out at facebook.com/datadoctors. Become a fan. And then during the week, when we see things that we think you should know about, you get them in real time. Again, another half an hour to go. 602-277-5827 is the number. It's the Data Doctors and Lewis from Mac Media in the house. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. As we were going to break, I was talking about the Facebook fan page. Here's another reason to consider becoming a Facebook fan. As we move into the new studio, one of the things that we're going to try to implement is our Fan of the Month contest and invite that Fan of the Month to come in and actually be part of the show.
Well, that'll be nice.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
The new studios will accommodate more people.
Does that mean we can't wear our pajamas anymore?
You can.
All right.
Because it's still radio. And might I say, you have the perfect radio face. Now, I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. The parameters of the contest. Oh, there's a fan. There's a fan, electric fan. Yeah, one more. Add that to the fan base. The parameters for becoming the Fan of the Month has nothing to do with you being able to solve computer issues. It just has to do with the fact that you enjoy the show and you like to come down. You could read the news. You could read the Geek Speak. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. You could bring Lewis a jacket, right, or whatever.
We could talk about Max.
Yeah. So somewhere in the next couple of weeks, we'll announce the parameters for the Fan of the Month contest. And so become a fan of the Data Doctors page on Facebook, facebook.com/datadoctors. And by the way, we're still we started out at like 36% female, got it up to 42%. We're kind of stalled. I'm trying to get the ladies. Where are the ladies?
Where are the ladies at?
Where are the ladies? We got enough guys. Let's get some more ladies.
Let's
spread the word.
Yeah.
All right. If you are interested in trying to squeeze that extra few cents, the free shipping, whatever it is, check out all the resources we have posted on this week's radio show, datadoctors.com/radio. Are we boring you, Kyle?
No, I'm just...
Including all of the scam alerts, my advice column, I don't know. Nobody could see it, but I just figured I'd do that. Back to the phones. Let's see if we can help Ray. Ray, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Well, thank you. I was wondering about, on Windows 7, the difference between a 64-bit and 32-bit processor.
Oh, it's twice as many bits.
I know.
All right, thanks for calling.
I understand that.
It's actually quite significant, and more detailed explanation is in my advice column from, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. If you look at the free help section of our website.
Okay, I haven't yet. Oh, I will.
That's okay. I'm going to go into we'll get into the as much as we can from now, but it's the pros and cons of 64-bit Windows. The 64-bit is where the world is going. Okay, so there's no question that if we fast forward 5 years, we're all likely going to be on a 64-bit machine.
Yeah.
Okay? The question is now the time for you to make the transition? 64-bit operating systems have been around for quite a while. They go back to actually Windows 2000, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
The problem was that all of your programs and all of the hardware that you have to all be compatible with the 64-bit operating system.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because if you don't have that, then it basically will not work. So you go to install something like this gentleman that called earlier. He had a 64-bit version or 32-bit version of Windows 7, had an older version of AutoCAD, and the program says this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to happen when you have this mixing and matching.
Yeah, 60, I have ordered a Windows 7 laptop, and they're going to load it with 32-bit, and I was just wondering if maybe 64-bit would be faster, but it's because I'm going to be running it with an XP desktop.
Well, it has nothing to do with your other computers.
It has nothing to do with that.
No, it has to do with what you're going to use
what's
on
wrong?
That computer. So in order to take advantage of the 64-bit, you'd have to get 64-bit versions of the programs, or else you don't gain anything.
And
so, like, let's say you're using Photoshop.
Okay,
you'd have to get the 64-bit version of Photoshop to really take advantage of those extra lanes on the freeway, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
So everything has to be 64-bit for it to really make a difference. Those of you that are out there doing video editing and those kinds of things, the dramatic difference is the amount of memory that 64-bit operating systems can address versus the 32-bit. Is that what you were going to talk about?
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
What's the upper limit on a 32-bit operating
four
system?
Four gigs of RAM.
Four, not actual. That's like 3.2 gigabytes of actual addressable RAM, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, is it a terabyte or something?
It's something crazy where you'd never be able to put it in your system for
now.
No, never say never.
When I got started in this business.
For right now. When I got started
in this business and they came out with the 20 megabyte hard drive, the comment was, you'll never need more space than this.
Right.
20 megabytes.
I've said that.
Yeah, we were in those days, right, Jay? Right.
So it
sounds like based on what you're doing right now that the 32-bit, I will tell you the 32-bit is the easier path right now because you're not having to go through that transition, right, to make sure that all your hardware and all your software are 64-bit compatible or actually optimized for 64-bit.
So as I buy new hardware and get new software, I should make sure it's 64-bit?
What I would recommend you do is kind of read through that advice column. I try to lay it all out there because it's fairly complicated, and you have to really understand all the parts.
Uh-huh.
It's not a matter of should I convert to 64-bit. The answer is yes, we all should at some point. The question really is now the time to do it? And for some people, the answer is yes. For some people, it's absolutely no. And then there's a large chunk of people that are in that gray area.
Yeah,
and so you really need to understand all the parts and then kind of understand your situation so that you can make the best decision now. There is no right answer, unfortunately, because everybody's situation is unique.
Oh, I hate those.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to the computer world, huh?
But I also ordered it Windows 7 Professional so I can run XP.
The XP mode? Well, that's as long as the computer itself, which if it's a brand new one, you shouldn't have a problem, as long as it's got the virtualization chip.
Yeah, it will.
Okay. But as I was saying earlier, why do you think you're going to need to run Windows XP mode on a Windows 7 machine?
Well, because some of my programs may not run under Windows 7.
Why are you saying...
Rotorbun, like the print shop, might not run.
Okay,
so I haven't run into anything yet that hasn't installed on Windows 7. I even loaded Office 2000
All the Microsoft products are going to be fine. The Rotorbun might be an issue, but instead of guessing...
Uh-huh.
That link that I referred to in my other advice column, you can actually go look that up. And Microsoft will tell you, yes, it's compatible, no, it's not, and whether it's compatible with 32-bit or 64-bit. There's a fantastic resource for that. Again, that's the fifth
column. There are too many things out there that make you have to look things up.
Well, here's the deal. If you'll just read every column I write every week, you'll be as smart as I am.
Okay, my battery's dying.
All right, take care, Ray.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
See how we got out of that? My battery is dying.
I know. I was like, I got to go. Oh, I got to boil the cat or something.
Yeah, sorry. Bad connection.
I am very humble. Just ask me. Bad. couldn't help it. Since we're talking about Windows 7, Jesus is on and has a question about the compatibility of Windows 7. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. How are you doing, gentlemen? Great show, by the way.
Thank you. What can we do for you?
The reason for the call is we just recently, we had XP at the house, and we recently upgraded to Windows 7. So far, loving it, but then, of course, a couple of hiccups started happening for us. Before doing the installation, let me just fill you in. We did that. There's a program, I guess, or that you run to see
compatibility checker. Yeah, uh-huh.
Exactly. Yeah. And I want to say that everything was okay. We didn't get no little exclamation marks. Everything was fine.
Okay.
Well, we came to find out that on the computer that we have on the desktop, we have a video capture card. You know, the one where you can watch TV and
yes.
Basically what we use for Media Center.
Okay.
Well, now it's telling me that as soon as Windows 7 loads up. On the desktop, it tells me that a driver had to be disabled because it can cause compatibility issues. And it's this, is the driver for the video card. So what I want to know is I try to update the driver. I try to go to the manufacturer's site,
yes.
And it doesn't give me any answers at all. So I'm kind of stuck there.
Yeah, you did the right thing because the only entity that can help you is the manufacturer of the video card.
Okay, so at this point, maybe upgrading the video card, I guess.
Well, yeah, you can change to one, or you can wait to see. My assumption is going to be, how old is this video card? Let's go.
The video card is probably, we got this computer maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, so you're right in that area where the manufacturer of that video card may be working on the driver. So they have to write the driver to make it compatible with Windows 7.
I see. Now, when I go under, I don't know if this matters at all, but when I go under Device Manager and go, you know, under the particular driver or, you know, the card, and I go update driver and it searches for it, it tells me that it's the most recent to date, but again,
right.
Is there a way that you can still enable it? You know how that little message comes up that says disable? Is there a way to still enable it and see if it really works, or there's no way to bypass it from Windows 7?
Well, I wouldn't recommend that even if you that you do, because Windows is telling you it's probably going to cause instability. I'm suggesting you do is contact the manufacturer via email, put the specific model number of your video card.
Okay.
In the email, and just ask,
okay.
Do you guys have plans to create, are you in the process of creating a driver for this, or should I be buying a new video card? So you can figure out, do they have an intention to actually create a driver for you? And then if so, you have to decide, am I willing to wait for them to do this, or am I in a hurry, I just want to get something going, I'll get a new video card.
Got it. Okay. And then my last question then would be, when the system's booting up, it gives me the option, I guess that's part of the upgrading because we had XP before, it gives me the option to either boot up Windows XP, I guess that's that virtual machine or whatever.
No. It sounds like you did a dual boot. Windows XP virtual is actually what would live within Windows 7. You cannot install Windows 7 over the top of Windows XP. So because you didn't wipe everything out beforehand, Windows 7 said, well, you must want to keep that. So it created a separate partition, a separate area.
Got it. Installed. So then if on the meantime, and let me let you know, so far, besides that, Windows 7 is just awesome compared to we had another Vista machine and we were having a lot of issues with that. 7 is just doing way.
Yeah, no, Windows 7 is definitely far superior.
On this desktop, if I was to load it back up to XP on the meantime, that would allow me to continue using my capture card like we were doing before. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, if you didn't wipe it out, you can go back and forth, absolutely.
Okay. Perfect. That's all I want to know.
Good luck with that. And that's how it works. It may just be right around the corner. You know what's right around the corner? Our last segment. It's the Computer Corner, back right after this. Hey, you're listening to the Computer Corner. By the way, this week's newsletter, all of you that are still using Windows Vista, you're waiting to update to Windows 7, but you'd like a little extra punch from that Windows Vista machine, tip of the week, gives you all kinds of little adjustments you can make to improve the performance on your Vista machine. Those of you looking to buy that gift for that nerdy, geeky, weirdo person in your life, and you know you can't afford the stuff they really want, the headwhack of the week is for those of you that are out of gift ideas. Basically, recommending that you go check out all the stupidity at stupid.com. Like farting slippers and, yeah, there's everything stupid that you can think of for under $30. So if you want to get one of those,
she's going there, right?
USB,
now.
Yeah, those USB missile launchers, there you go. McAfee also had a news item where they uncovered the riskiest domains. And a lot of people out there don't realize, and this is something you really should start doing as you're going around the Internet. When you click on a link and it takes you to this address and it's got all these characters and things, you see the .com and then after that you see a .ru. Well, that means that website is on a Russian domain. RU is the country code for Russia. So McAfee went out and did a study on the riskiest domains, right? The countries that have the highest possibility of you getting onto a rogue website. And guess who has the number one distinction in the entire world for the riskiest domains?
I have no idea.
Cameroon.
Cameroon.
Country code CM.
So if you see CM.
Well, I think I'm hypothesizing here. Because CM is so close to COM, right? That people see that and think, well, they just forgot the O. Or what, I'm
they
really not sure.
About
whatever. CM, or you know, they're not looking real close or whatever.
The O took the day off.
Because I don't really, I mean, I don't recall Cameroon being a hotbed for, hacker activity. But so you don't have to live in Cameroon to use a Cameroon domain because you can just register with that particular country. 36.7% of the websites on the .cm top-level domain that has that domain signature are potentially malicious. Almost 40%.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, compared to the .com, which is a generic commercial, which anybody anywhere in the world can have, it's like 32% on .com, which what you'd expect. The third is .cn, which is China, 23%. The safest, .jp, Japan.
Figures.
Most inscrutable internet users. Very safe. I am partially Japanese, so I'm not making fun of myself. Hey, by the way, there's a nationwide balloon hunt contest going on, another item that's in the newsletter. And there's a $40,000 prize if you happen to be the first team to find all the balloons that the DARPA Network Challenge launched. 40 grand.
I'm down.
Well, if you waited till this radio show to get this information instead of reading the newsletter last night, then you wouldn't have been out there this morning looking for them.
Hmm.
Which means you're probably not going to make the 40K. There's another link in there on how a $100 print cartridge could actually be cheaper than a $50 print cartridge.
Because the ink lasts you longer?
Well, I think people get too caught up in, I bought a cartridge at this price, and they don't really realize the real measure is the cost per page, which is why laser printers are significantly cheaper.
Were you speaking of toner?
Toner? Oh, right. Ink cartridges, yeah. So that and then a link to an older CNN.com video I did on Wi-Fi safety when you're out in public places like hotels and airports and that kind of stuff, some things that you need to look at. We're still going through the technical process of becoming more gooder at creating the new segments we're doing on CNN. So the current segments be in production now because we don't do them live anymore. It used to be like 5-10 minutes, boom, we're done. Now it's like we're learning how difficult the whole video creation world is for media stuff. But yeah, we'll get more gooder at it as well.
As they're up there, cut. Ken got it wrong again.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Take. If you want more information on the information we have posted about online coupons, the scams, the savings, the legitimate sites, how to figure out what a legitimate site looks like, datadoctors.com/radio is where you're going to find that. Lewis, if they have a Mac question during the week, what do they call?
You need some Mac information, go to macmediainc.com.
Who are you going to call? Taylor? Thanks. Solid on the Geek Speak.
Quite welcome.
Kyle? And thank you for being the audience member. Join us again next week as we talk more about technology and become a fan at facebook.com/datadoctors. See you next week.